Welcome to the Art of Black Miami podcast, organized by Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. Our stories introduce emerging and experienced artists who make Miami an exciting place to live and visit. I'm Rosie Gordon-Wallace, curator and arts advocate. Miami is my home since the 1970s. My passion is cultivating the vision and talent of contemporary artists from the Caribbean diaspora, artists of color, and immigrant artists. Many cultures and languages come together to shape the character of Miami. Today we introduce you to Carl Juice, a highly respected photojournalist, curator, and activist. In Miami's Little Haiti and across the city, he creates opportunities for conversations about difficult truths and unknown histories, working to shape hope for the future in our community. Hey, Carl, good morning.
Good morning, Rosie. How are you?
It is such a joy to be sitting across from you in Dedicated Purpose. You know, I've known you for a long time. I want to talk to you about where you were born, the Haitian immigrant story.
I'm a byproduct of a small but very influential capital by the name of Port-au-Prince. It's very appropriate because my father always just tell me, your crown has been paid for, so wear it well, which means you don't bow your head down. You have ownership of your responsibility of your actions. You're not quick to take credit, but first to take blame. That comes because of the immigrant experience. My father came to New York City in the 50s. Being of black hue didn't guarantee inclusion. Let's compound that by being someone of Caribbean and dual language, dual cultural. So operating those spaces and coming from a place of intellectual nobility.
Where's this place in New York?
Brooklyn, Bushwick, okay. To be exact. It was both a cul-de-sac and an oasis.
I want to bring you to your earliest memory and history in Miami.
We're in a caravan, huge U-Haul, with all our belongings and all our hopes packed tight.
And who is we?
My immediate family, my uncles, my cousins, their friends. We're a caravan of 6 cars.
And what did your mom say?
My mom never said anything. Most queens don't.
The queen.
They just look. They navigate using their eyes. And these gestures, the hand gesture, be quiet. They'd take the hand up and all hush would come into the car. So we come down Miami Avenue, lined on both sides of huge palm trees. And it was so clean. July of 73, to be exact. Green grass, backyards, gentle breeze, and a refuge from sirens and the yelling, and the music, and I mean, New York has this soundscape, which is very unique and beautiful. And Miami has this soundscape. And I remember my brother Patrick, when we finally arrived, and said, wow, this is like being in Haiti. I think my father heard that often because my recollection of Haiti is minimal.
How old were you when you came here?
2.5. We get here, and the first thing, we kind of scope. We're walking around. We're trying to figure out how our little bodies can navigate such a large space with 4 bedrooms. And there was a Florida room.
Yes, yes.
All these additions. We had a brownstone in New York. My father owned the whole brownstone, but we rented the top, and we rent part of the second floor. So we always had this communal space, but now we're in Miami. It was all ours.
What public school did you attend?
Chatillon Elementary.
Chatillon Elementary.
The only year that I went to public school my whole life, from kindergarten all the way to college.
That's not an unusual story for a middle-class Caribbean family.
My sister, who was close to my age, we both went to private school. My dad wanted to make sure that we had the tools to deal in this new place.
We are in your space, mm-hmm. Iris Photo Collective, in Little Haiti. When did you start?
I met Edouard Duval-Cayet while working for the Herald, and he had the space, and I rented just a small section of it. I would have events here. I would have shows here. The room is not that big, but, you know, maybe.
It's beautiful.
But I would do a lot of shows next door at the Little Haiti Cultural Complex, and this would be my office space. And then I decided there are certain things, certain conversations that I wanted to have that I couldn't have in a public space. So I created IPC Art Space for local artists like myself to engage in serious conversations about life and about creating and about practice. My space, our space, IPC Art Space, it's about breathing through the oxygen of art. Take a deep breath and exhale. And when you come in here, there's a peace that's here. You could come here and drink, but it's not a bar. You could come here and eat, but it's not a restaurant. You could come here and dance. It's definitely not a club. But you come here and you can give your own personal prayer. You can look at an image. You can have that memory. You can connect with your own humanity. And you can breathe.
Why photography, Carl? Is photojournalism art?
Well, I'm a photojournalist. And photography is memory. The art is not in the product, it's in the process. Photojournalists produce art and it's current and it's happening in the moment. I cannot go back and relive that moment, but I have to be intentional in my act of creating my art. Photojournalism speaks to my truth. It's my power, it's my sword, it's my shield. It is my purpose. It is my voice.
It is your archive.
It is my archive. I create, I don't take. And what I make is to be shared, but I own my copyrights.
That's an important point. Copyright ownership is the key.
It's your dignity. My labor is for the benefit of what I produce, my practice, but it's my labor. I have collaborators, yes. I have funders, yes. They get what they ask for tenfold.
What are you working on currently?
Well, I'll just give you highlights. We got the book Havana, Haiti, Two Cultures, One Community. It's coming out either the fall of 2023 or the spring of 2024, hopefully. Akashi Books out of Brooklyn. Mm-hmm. We have the show right now by Bill Frakes called Coming Home, about Nebraska and landscapes and the various scenic ideals of how land can occupy not only space, but mind and spirit. We have Catherine Hollingsworth is doing Secret Lives of Plants, which is in March. We look at plants in a whole different way, that they're living, but they're speaking to us, but we're not listening. This is why I never call IPC Art Space a gallery, because it is a space, but it's also a state of mind, right?
You mentioned your funders casually, but I want you to highlight some of the funders in this business.
Artistically, I could not breathe without the Knight Foundation, Diaspora Vibe, the Ulight, the Green Foundation, with the Mellon, also with Bloomberg. Artistically, I couldn't breathe with the little guy down the block who comes here and walks in and brings his children who've probably never seen photography at this level.
So here we are at your photo collective with all of these beautiful images. And right across is a mural representing, supporting, bigging up your dad. Your dad is iconic in Little Haiti.
All gratitude go to Serge Toussaint, a muralist, a cultural stakeholder. So I gave him a picture of my parents. And after he was done, every day I walk outside my door, I look to the right. And it's very peculiar that I look to the right, west. They're my setting suns. I never seen the sun rise in the west, but it does every time I get up in the morning, because that's the first place I look. That has been their role during the course of my life. My dignity, my practice rises and sets on them.
We connect with our neighborhood. I want to connect now with your public art. Share with us what you've been doing at MoCA.
I think culture in Miami is something that needs to be discovered and found. And it's heralded from small spaces, big spaces. It's the smell of rice cooking or roti being made in someone's kitchen. And MoCA has that recipe locked down. Museum of Contemporary Art in North Miami has been through some growing pains. Like every other institution, and like Bass or PAM or Little Haiti Cultural Complex, I think there was a lesson learned during COVID. A museum is not a place where art is hung or seen. A museum is a tabernacle of our humanity. It's where we walk in and we can all, whatever language we speak, whatever culture dispositions we have, we can be moved without having to explain. MoCA does that. During COVID, Shauna Sheldon, director of MoCA, came up to me and said, hey, we're closed, but we want art to be accessible. And she asked, do you have anything you think that people would be drawn to? This is in 2020. The nation was dealing with truths that they were trying to transform into lies. Out of everything I have in my catalog, I thought this was the statement of the time. I Am Man, which was a portrait taken in 2008. Elroy Nickelberry and his son, he was one of the sanitation workers marching in 1968, whom MLK went down to Memphis to show support and lost his life. So imagine driving down 125th and right in the plaza with, in the fountain, perched on a orange terracotta wall is a larger than life portrait of power. It's an old man wearing a hat looking directly in front of him, and it's a profile. To the left of him is his son, who also is a sanitation worker, holding a replica of the sign that he once carried. A sign of dignity and a sign of defiance. I am a man. Holding that sign with the extreme durable dignity. That is not something one could have said without being hung in the South. And now this beautiful portrait is hanging and being portrayed, catching the wind at MoCA Plaza.
That public artwork made people stop and reflect, and I want to thank you for it.
Well, I'd like to thank MoCA because it's all about when institutions can see value in what may be perceived as personal expressions. I am a man. It's a bold statement to say then, and it's a bold statement to say now.
I don't think it will ever be a statement that loses its power.
It took us too long to claim it. And I'd like to thank the Miami Herald, too, because without the Herald, I wouldn't have gotten the skill sets for the 30 years of serving this community. I might be living in Little Haiti, but my heart is in South Florida. It's just where I rest, where I pray, and where I grow. But I always grow to all communities. And I'm very grateful for the Herald for giving me an amazing platform to exercise my collectiveness.
Oolite Arts awarded you funding for this project called Defiance. What are we going to see in this Defiance exhibition?
Again, in the collective spirit, we're going to see photojournals and produced and artwork produced in the summer of 2020 from various different photographers, young, old, up and coming, Vanessa Charlot, now teaching at Mississippi State, Wilson De La Fort, local, myself, C.W. Griffin, Carol Guzzi, Julio Cortez, AP. And we're going to see in practice, what is defiance? Those who are defiant, it's not only the people who are marching, it's the police officers, it's the politicians, the mothers who raise their children.
I have to ask you how it is that art has catalyzed your life.
I think I owe more to art than it's given me. I'm a patron. And part of what I do is not about my individual work. My practice is like fingers to a fist. I bring people together, and together we are able to lift, we're able to turn, we're able to pivot, we're able to sometimes slap, sometimes caress, but we do it together.
Tell us a little bit about your work with the community.
We have Leonard Pitts. We have Joanne Hippolyte from the Smithsonian, Lionel Milton from New Orleans, Cry the Crew. We're going to talk about our Blackness. We're going to talk about the upcoming Call to the Ancestors, which is a larger exhibition. We're talking about celebration, a transition in different cultures. Native American, Spanish-speaking Americas, Latinx, Latina, however it's appropriate to use. Also Haitian expressions and African American Bahamian expressions. So we all gonna gather and we're gonna have one big Gide Gumbe / Day of the Dead celebration. And people are gonna be able to come to this exhibition, participate, leave their own message to their ancestors.
Over time, we've watched you use art as a catalyst in Little Haiti. Talk to us about the project you're working on with residents now. It's connected with changes in the neighborhood.
FIU received a Mellon grant, and they approached me through the Haitian Cultural Arts Alliance, which I'm now executive director. And they wanted to talk about gentrification, global warming, race, and culture. And one way to do it is to talk about Little Haiti more than a location, like a thought. So I had Miami-Dade residents, some of them live in Liberty City, some of them live in Little Haiti or near Little Haiti, come and bring the camera and take a day and walk around. And the topic was the color of the Caribbean, Little Haiti. It produced a couple of hundred images. We narrowed them down, I think, to 15. 12 were in honorable mentions. 3 were first and second and third place. That project will be part of Green Space Exhibition in 2024. But I took it a step further. I commissioned Isaiah Smalls to write essays for the top 3 images. The idea was to celebrate Little Haiti and to have a discussion about gentrification, not solely victimization of a community, but undervaluing the victor of the community. Right, in the alleys, in the hallways of institutions. I want my voice to carry. But I don't want it to be a singular voice. And this is what this project is about. I want it to be a collective voice. Because they're not coming after Carl Juice. They're coming after a whole lot of other people.
We can't be talking about Little Haiti without using Creole. I want you to close us out in Creole.
Merci beaucoup, mon ami.
C'est passé.
Ça passe.
Ça passe.
Mpansé wa bule. Keep warm, keep tight, and keep right.
This was an Art of Black Miami podcast sponsored by the Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau. I am Rosie Gordon-Wallace. We recorded this conversation in the historic neighborhood of Little Haiti, a mecca for Black art and culture. Art of Black Miami highlights the year-round art and culture scene in Miami's heritage neighborhoods and across communities in Greater Miami and Miami Beach. If you are enjoying our stories, visit artofblackmiami.com to learn more. Engage us on social media, post and share using the hashtag ArtOfBlackMiami. The Greater Miami Convention and Visitors Bureau is an accredited, independent, not-for-profit sales and marketing organization. GMCVB's mission is to attract visitors to Greater Miami and Miami Beach for leisure, business, and conventions. For up-to-date art events, promotions, and more information, visit artofblackmiami.com.